Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I'm joined by Adam Davidson, who is CEO of Trident Royalties. How are you today, Adam?
Hey, very good, thank you.
Right, the first thing I think with Trident is the royalties model. What is it is applied to your sector?
Yeah, sure. I won't delve into it too much detail. There's a lot of information on our website, of course. But yeah, a royalty, in a nutshell, it entitles the royalty holder to a percentage of revenue from the underlying operation. So it's another source of financing. Effectively, mining companies can raise debt or raise equity to finance their projects or expansions. And over the last sort of 10 to 15 years, royalty financing has emerged as another source of capital for mining companies. And obviously, from the royalty company's perspective, you know, as we accumulate royalties, you get diversified cash flow from a number of various operations across different commodities, across different jurisdictions. So it gives you sort of an equity-like exposure because you're getting a percentage of operational revenue, but you're doing so from a very much diversified portfolio and via an asset that's not exposed directly to operating costs. So whereas equity, if margins start to tighten, yeah, then they say that they see their profitability reduced. A royalty, by just getting a percentage of revenue, avoids that. So it gives you sort of the upside of equity, but from a sort of risk mitigated portfolio approach.
So the best, hopefully, of both worlds, or all worlds, maybe is the way of describing it. Is that right?
No, that's right. I mean, at the end of the day, royalties are almost a derivative-like instrument where you get this great exposure because you're getting that percentage of revenue. So, you know, so as the operator, you know, does things like drill and build out their resource, which extends the mine life, you know, that benefits equity, and that's why people invest in mining equities. But it also benefits the royalty holder. Similarly, if they invest in their plant, in fact, they're using equities money to do that because they're taking profits and reinvesting in the asset. So that comes out of equity's pocket, but the royalty holder still gets the benefit of it because if they expand their plant, they expand production, it expands revenue, and then royalties get a percentage of the revenue. So it does give you that sort of equity-like exposure, but as I said, you're not directly exposed to operating costs. Really, your only exposure is if the mine becomes uneconomic and shuts down, then the royalty obviously stops paying. But outside of that, you are getting your revenue sort of quarter after quarter.
Okay, well, you started the year off, the announcement last week with the Lake Rebecca project drilling update, or the royalty portfolio update as well that you had. What's the latest at Trident at the moment then?
Yeah, so we IPO'd in June last year on the AIM. At that point in time, we had one single paying iron ore royalty, which has obviously served us well. We acquired that royalty. It was an existing royalty over an operation run by a major down in Western Australia. But we acquired that royalty when iron ore was around $85 a ton, and obviously it sort of zipped up to over $160 a ton. And that's a currently paying royalty. So that's been a great one for us. And really since then, we've added exposure in copper with two copper royalty acquisitions. One is a big development stage asset, and one is an asset that's ramping up production as we speak. And then we've added some good gold exposure as well. Probably most significantly is the Lake Rebecca one you mentioned, which is another sort of good example of the benefits of royalties. So if you're an equity holder and you know, you've got a developer who's out there raising money to drill and expand the resource and then move it through study phases, as an equity holder, you're obviously getting diluted every time they do a raise. But when you're a royalty holder, we own a 1.5% net smelter return royalty over that entire property. So, yeah, we're happy to see them raise money and continue to advance the asset. We don't get diluted. We see the asset sort of moving towards production. You know, we're estimating sort of 2023 for that asset. And so as they raise money and continue to expand it, we get the upside of that, but we don't suffer any of the dilution.
Right. And in terms of how busy you're going to be and how you expand, what's the plan for the rest of 2021? What are we looking at?
Yeah, so I mean, our overall strategy, because there are other royalty companies out there, predominantly precious metals focused. So when you look at the space, sort of $70 to $80 billion worth of royalty company market cap is all focused on precious metals, which is about a third of the global mining sector, whether you're looking at it by market cap or by revenue. So you've got this big chunk of royalty, the royalty sector focused on just that one third. And then there's about sort of $2 billion of royalty company market cap that's focused on the other two-thirds of the sector. the non-precious metals, so primarily focused on bulk commodities like iron ore and coal or base metals. What we found in our constructive thesis is that there's no royalty company that's offering investors full exposure to the broad suite of mining commodities, almost an index fund-like allocation. So what we're building is such that an investor can have a share of Trident. They like the royalty thesis. They can invest in Trident, and we'll get exposure to the full mining sector via that one share. So targeting about a third precious metals, a third base metals, and a third bulk and battery minerals and everything else, which, as I said, is roughly representative of the sector. So it gives you that exposure on almost an index-like allocation, but from a royalty perspective. So an offering that outside of us is not out there at the moment. And at present, we are sort of hitting that allocation slightly unintentionally because we are relatively new. So we're out there just looking for the most accretive deals we can. But as it stands, we're about a third with regard to our exposure.
Well, I mean, interesting enough, I suppose the shares have almost have effectively doubled since you came to markets. People are obviously inspired by what you're doing. One of the highlights, I think, in the recent past has been the ascendancy of the rare earth metals. Is that something that you're looking at in particular at the moment yourself?
Yeah, I think to tell you, one of the benefits actually of being diversified is sort of the precious guys are sort of, they can either go out and acquire or write new royalties, and they kind of have to do so regardless of price. It may not be the best time to go out there and put gold royalties in place given where the price is at, but if your sole focus is gold, you can either do nothing, which isn't a very attractive proposition for a public company, or you can go ahead and do deals that maybe aren't the most accretive. Whereas for us, you almost don't have to plan it in advance. The more attractive deals will sort of flow to the surface. So yeah, gold's gotten a little bit rich lately, so we're seeing things like rare earths and battery minerals and base metals in particular popping up as the most attractive opportunity. So we've got a bit of nimbleness in that regard. We try not to be too overly prescriptive with regards to, you know, we're only looking at XYZ commodities at the moment, but as I said, it's sort of naturally tends to flow to the surface.
Okay, and just finally, it's probably unusual not to mention COVID or the pandemic at all. Presumably, you would acknowledge that the pandemic has helped the value of hard assets. Do you think the momentum that we've seen, you know, over the last, 10 months of this nightmare is going to continue, or do you think it'll change shape, or what's your sort of best call in terms of what might happen next?
The overriding concern for us is to acquire defensive royalties over defensive assets. So, you know, when you look at our iron ore royalty, for example, it's operated by an ASX-listed major who's allocated 120 million Aussie dollars to expand the asset. You know, and as they increase their throughput, it's just going to shift them lower on the cost curve. And that's the kind of asset that you sort of say, if iron ore were to turn the corner, because it's at highs right now. And we hope it stays there as long as possible, but it will drift down at some point in time. But if you're acquiring royalties over defensive assets, then you'll be well positioned. You know, those assets will continue to produce, and that's the overriding concern from our perspective. So, yeah, I think it's, of course, in our minds as we're doing diligence, we're conscious of impacts of COVID, but it really doesn't change the overriding priority to ensure that royalties are over good, solid defensive assets.
Adam Davidson, CEO at Trident Royalties, thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.